I'd like to welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Kristin Cusato. She spent 20 years as a television journalist in New York, Texas, Connecticut, and California. Her mother's diagnosis of Lewy body dementia in 2009 changed everything. She moved from San Diego to New York to help her on the journey. She served as regional director for the Connecticut chapter of the Alzheimer's Association while her mom was ill, sharing what she was learning as a caregiver and teaching people about the disease. After her mom passed, she returned to California and is now the Associate Director of Communications for the San Diego Imperial Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Her goal is to share her caregiver hits and misses in the hopes that her stories can help make the journey a tad bit easier for others. Welcome, Kristin.
Thank you very much, Anthony. Appreciate it.
All right. So let's just jump in. What's the biggest myth about taking care of somebody with dementia?
I think the biggest myth is that you have to and should be alone in this. And I don't think you need to be alone at all. And this is something you learn, right, when you get into it. Your family gets hit by this Mack truck of dementia. Here's your diagnosis. And now you're usually like, what do I do? What can I possibly do? How do I start to navigate this process? Reach out. Just know that there are so many people who've already done this. You can reach out to, I'm going to say first, the Alzheimer's Association, because that's where I work. ALZ.org or call the 800 number, or there are a lot of other caregiver support groups. There are a lot of great books out there. There are a lot of great online, you know, live support groups that you can message and chat with. Don't do it by yourself because everyone else who's done this already has done and made all these mistakes. So maybe you can learn from those mistakes and get some tips to try to, like I said, make this a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, that's a common theme around our summit this year is that there is help. There's playbooks out there already. No need to reinvent, but it is also okay to lean on people and ask for help. So what surprised you the most while you were caregiving?
You know, it took me a while. I'm not exactly sure when in the process this happened. My mom was diagnosed at 61, so she was younger onset, and she lasted, say, fortunately or unfortunately, but it's probably fortunately only 4.5 years. It was a swift disease. It really took her really, really quickly due to the fact that 2 years in, she had a heart attack. So anything that happens to them, as we know, medically sets them back mentally, and then it just kind of sped up from there. So I think that I didn't even realize this until it just hit me where I have to go into her reality now. It's a mind shift of a caregiver because we're always correcting people, right? We're in the business of correcting. My goodness, if you're on social media for 3 minutes, you know that anytime anybody says anything tiny bit wrong, we jump to correct them and make them right. And as a parent, you correct your children. This is different when you're dealing with somebody with dementia. The way I look at it is they have their reality, we have ours. Because of what's happening in their brain, because of what's happening in the chemistry and the plaques and tangles and all that stuff that caregivers may be aware of what's happening in the disease process, they can't come into our reality anymore. So we have to go into theirs. And I'd like to share this really great story about me pulling out some random caregiver trick and it working. So my mom, we ended up placing her in an assisted living home. It's a family decision, but it was because the doctor had said she was really too shaky. She was falling a lot and needed to be in a one-story place. So she was in an assisted living and she was still able to use the phone. And she called me one day and she said, Chris, there's a man under my bed. I'm like, man under your bed? First of all, she's 61. The average age of the people in her assisted living is about 82, 85. Yep. So if there's a man under her bed, he used to be a gymnast and he's sliding underneath there. Second of all, I was just there and it's safe. And I'm pretty sure there's no man under the bed. Instead of saying and correcting her mom, I went into her reality and I validated her hallucination. And I said, okay, mom, is he banging on the bed? No. Is he yelling at you from underneath there? No, he's just under there. Well, I made something up because that's what we do sometimes. We fib. And I said, okay, mom, he's under the bed to make sure you go to lunch on time. So go to lunch. And when you come back, he'll be under Mary's bed. He's the under the bed, go to lunch guy. It's his job there. And I just like crossed my fingers and it worked. She said, oh. So going into their reality, validating their hallucinations, things that we were taught not to do, work in these situations sometimes.
Yeah. under the bed, go to lunch guy. I like that.
It's a job.
Maybe we should rename your session. I joke with people. Not joke. I tell people I've learned in my own way, because my mom didn't have, I was her caregiver, but she didn't have dementia. She had medical issues. So I learned 20 years ago as an entertainer going into nursing homes to enter the reality. And it's something that I wasn't trained on. It was just through experience. So absolutely, you kind of go into, if they want to, you know, look at your sheet music or dance with you or whatever, you just adapt to the situation.
So, you roll with it, because you're going to reduce anxiety if you roll with it. And if you fight it, it's going to make it worse for both of you.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, I was a caregiver. You were a caregiver. I'm a Catholic, and, you know, we have that guilt thing going on. Can we be a perfect caregiver? Anyone?
I don't think so. I don't think there is such thing as a perfect caregiver. However, I will say that everybody who does caregiving does the best they can. They do the best they possibly can. It's not easy. You know, it's the hardest job I believe I ever had. I'm not a parent, but I believe it's the hardest job out there. I mean, you're watching your loved ones slowly going away and losing all these things, including the ability to recognize you or say your name, or for the first time, mom didn't call me on my birthday. Oh, I was a wreck for a half a day. You know, it's your mom, or it's your loved one, it's your spouse, and it's really, really hard. So there are a lot of mistakes you're gonna make along the way, but it's constantly evolving and changing. So you learn from your mistakes, right? And then you're better the next time. The good thing about dementia sometimes is they have short-term memory. And so the mistake you make today might not be even in existence tomorrow. So it sounds kind of funny, like I'm making fun, but it's not, it's the truth. Tomorrow could be a brand new, fresh slate day, and you just start again, you try again.
Yeah. And so speaking of some of those quote mistakes, what would you have done differently in your caregiving?
You know, I think that I would have loved to have known earlier not to argue. I think that arguing and, you know, trying to fix it and change and, you know, tell them that, no, mom, it's Friday. Stop thinking it's Tuesday. It's Friday. I think that if I had learned that earlier, it would have made things a little bit easier. And also, I think that, you know, here's a good story about how their brain worked. If I had learned a little bit earlier about how the brain of someone with dementia worked, it might have been helpful. So my mom had not been diagnosed yet. She was having some issues at home. I was living in San Diego. She was living in New York. And she came to visit me. How she maneuvered two planes, a stopover and everything, I don't know, but thank goodness she did. We were best friends. She came here and we had the worst time ever. We were fighting. We were not communicating, and we were the best at communicating. So I wish I had known some of these things to look for. And another story I'll share is that we were walking in San Diego. There's like a boardwalk area, Mission Beach, and we were walking along the boardwalk area, the sidewalk. And I said, Mom, did you want to stay on the sidewalk or hop this little wall and go into the sand? No answer. Mom, did you want to stay here or take our shoes off and go near the water? No answer. And I said, Mom. And she said, I'm thinking. So every single time I re-asked the question, I restarted her brain, because it takes them sometimes up to 20 seconds to comprehend what you're saying. Okay, I'm going to do the pros and cons of staying on the boardwalk versus going over here. And then I'm like, Mom. She's like, okay. I'm going to do the pros and cons. So I'm restarting her brain.
Yep.
And I'm hitting her with too many things. And so if I had known maybe that patience, that's what I wanted to say. Anthony, can we go to a patient store and buy some patience, please? Can you give out patience? We'd love to have that.
We have a lot of giveaways on the Caregiver Summit, but we don't have patience, but maybe we can teach it. So there you go. So what are the biggest takeaways from this for you?
I think that one of the biggest takeaways, and which I didn't do in while I was in it, was to really stop and enjoy and embrace and solidify the positive moments, the joyful moments, the lucid moments that my mom had. I can tell you just a quick story about, remember we were sitting and watching her favorite shows, which were Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
Of course.
And so we're watching those shows, and by this point in her disease, she had become nonverbal. So there wasn't talking, there wasn't much interaction. She was sitting in her bed and I was sitting next to her. And I think a guy got the puzzle on at Wheel of Fortune with one letter. And I was like, oh my gosh, Mom, that was amazing. And she said, clear as day, yes, yes, it was. And I'm like, Mom, you're speaking, you're there.
Yes.
That was it. That's all I had. But that moment, I have seared into my brain. And there's so many others that I probably should have or would have liked to. And maybe I don't recall them, you know? So right. Taking this beautiful moment of joy and lucidity and love and kind of wrapping yourself around in it and just kind of really, really enjoying the moment and taking a lot of photos. I think that, you know, Mom passed away, gosh, 5.5 years ago already. And in the caregiving, I didn't want to take photos. It wasn't a nice, happy, pleasant time. I wasn't like, let's pose, let's do a selfie, you know?
Right.
But taking more photos to have later, because I've run out of new photos. I have seen all the photos that exist of my mom, and I'm sad that there aren't more. I kind of wish that I had found more or taken more. So caregivers out there, take a lot of photos and take stock of these beautiful moments and really, really hold on to them and just keep giving them love, because you never know when they're going to come out with something a little later on in the disease. And forgive yourself as a caregiver. You're going to make those mistakes. Just forgive yourself. It's a really, really hard job, but I applaud you all for reaching out and doing this, because this is something where you could, you know, learn some tricks and tips.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be in the moment and realize that it's an opportunity. I mean, you may not look at it that way when you're in it, but it's an opportunity to spend time with the loved one that maybe you've never had that time to spend before. You know, we have somebody on the summit talking about capturing life stories. You know, when people are early in the disease, maybe that's a perfect time, though I'd encourage people to do it even before that. So look at it as an opportunity, definitely. And I joke, when I used to sing at some of the places and I would have a 7 o'clock performance, I would thank people for being there because I told them they had options, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Oh.
Exactly. You know it. Exactly. It's very popular.
Well, Kristen, I want to thank you so much for being on the Caregivers Summit. I really applaud what you're doing. The fact that you made a whole career change, found a whole new purpose, and your mother helped you do it. Pretty awesome. So thanks again.
Thank you, Anthony. And yeah, I can't believe it, but her sickness literally gave me another purpose in life. And I am, I'm very thankful for that.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.